You have an outline available for you if you'd like to just take note of that and kind of follow along as I go through the notes. The notes really are longer than my lesson. You'll think that we're not going to be here till midnight, so don't worry. I'll relieve that burden right away. Noreen, I didn't get this lesson up just for you. But but we all have troubles in various degrees and even oftentimes, but all of us go through troubles or trials or hardships or difficulties in life. When Jesus began his ministry, he gave a list of beatitudes. And after seven beatitudes, he gets to the last one. He talks about being poor in spirit, and mourning, and the meek, and the hungry, and the thirsting after righteousness, the merciful, pure in heart, and the peacemaker. And he says, if you live those beatitudes, this last one will affect you too. And in Matthew 5, verse 10, says, blessed are you if you are persecuted. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. He also went on to say, men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. But then he states the benefits of this list of difficulties. He says, for yours is the kingdom of heaven, and for great is your reward in heaven. Without that last benefit or blessing, we would be greatly discouraged to live a Christian life. If that was the only description of it, was the difficulties and the hardships. So I'm just going to list for you some of the consequences of Christian living, but also as we go through the lesson, we'll notice the benefits or the blessings. So in your introduction, I just gave you an abundant list of scriptures. I'm not going to read every verse or every word of every verse. But here you get the idea of what we can expect. And so God has been very open with us. Now, it doesn't seem like not right now in our generation, in our neighborhood, or where we live right now, we may not experience to the degree that the early church experience difficulties and hardships. But one day that may change. Maybe not in our generation, but it may come. But here's the list. 1 Peter 4, verse 16. Yet if any suffer as a Christian, suffer. In John 15, verse 18, Jesus said, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 21 of John 15, but all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. 1 Corinthians 4, beginning of verse 11, Paul describing his ministry, he said, even unto this present hour we both hunger, thirst, are naked, and buffeted. I always mispronounce that. It's not buffet. It's buffeted. Sometimes I just enjoy my own humor. But now, where was I? All right. Says, and we have no uncertain dwelling place, and labor working with our hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things to this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations. And then he gives the blessing, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. So when we are blessed with the comfort from above, we have that ability, or we enjoy that ability, to comfort others who are going through troubles. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That's why would we go through all of this? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, one of my favorite verses. For our light affliction, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, the blessing, it works for us for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3. Paul describes himself again, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry may be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessity, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and in fastings. Paul, anything else? Oh, yeah. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In death, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys, often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings, often, in hunger, thirst, in fastings, often, in cold and nakedness. And beside, he goes on, and besides those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the church. If I could talk to the Apostle Paul, one of the first questions I would ask him after looking at this list of things, I'd say, Paul, how's that Christianity working for you? How's that decision working out? Wow. Philippians 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given. Given in the behalf of Christ. Not only to believe in him, but to also suffer for his sake. Oh, thank you. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Meaning, just because you're afflicted, don't move away from the faith. So Paul writes these things. So that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that these are appointed. Appointed. For verily, when we were with you, we told you beforehand that we should suffer tribulation. Even as it came to pass, as you know. Wow. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it or consider it all joy, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. Just let patience have its perfect work. 1 Peter 4, verse 4, wherein they, meaning those on the outside, they think it's strange that you don't run with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. And the last one I have, Revelation 6, verse 9, says, I saw underneath the altar the souls of them that had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Whew. The Bible says a lot about what we may expect when we others know for whom we stand and on whose side we stand. So there's just a a list. That's not the complete list, but that kind of gets us started in what I just want to quickly say. And even the story of the wise and foolish man that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 7, the same event happened to both. You know, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but the one that was aligned up with Jesus is the one that stood. So we have help from above in all the things that we go through. So let's take a look at the blessings. I'm going to just go through these rather quickly. Number one, Job 23, verse 10. When he has tried me, we're going to be tried. I shall come forth as gold. Well, we don't see our value. We don't see sometimes the value while we're in the thick of it. But when he's tried me, when it's finished, look at the results. Enduring the trials. Overcoming them. We want us to look forward to something good. And Job likens it to gold. You know, something very precious. So in our troubles and trials, we need to look at the end. That there's going to be a benefit. There's something precious, something valuable. And it's worth the while to hang in there. 1 Peter 5, verse 10 says, the God of all grace, who calls you into his eternal glory in Christ, after that ye have suffered a little while, shall himself perfect, establish, and strengthen you. After. Later. Of course, sometimes the troubles make people bitter, and other trials make them better. I always like it, the old story, when the hostess comes to you, when you're at the restaurant, your meal is about finished, says, keep your fork. Why would she say that? He or she say that?
He ran out of fork.
Yeah, fork. That's right. We're not watching. Oh, there's something there that's just given to me. It's a little fork that fell in. TBIYTC. Some oftentimes at special dinners we're told while the table is being cleared to keep our forks. We know that something good is coming. Some special dessert. Well, our life on earth is like that. As Christians, we know that in eternity will be our life's dessert. We know that, here's the acronym, the best is yet to come. So where this pen says, not you. So TBIYTC, the best is yet to come. I keep that on my desk in my office. Remind me when I'm getting these sermons up, the best is yet to come. Well, that's number one. Number two, Psalm 119, verse 71. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Really? That I might learn by statutes. Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. We can amen that, can't we? I'm not chastening. It's not joyous. It's, and Hebrew writer said, it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that exercise thereby. You know, a lot of us, we learn through suffering. We get hurt doing something, we'll do that again. We learn through suffering. You know, God, in Hebrews 12 and verse 7, God deals with us as sons. So our parents, you know, they teach us, reprove us, correct, discipline, set rules, educate, love us. And it's done for our best interest. Why do I have to go through the rigor of, you know, education or the rigor of chores or whatever else it is? For our men to learn the statutes. Number three, Romans 8, verse 17. If children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. 1 Peter 1, 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. Our trials are more precious than gold. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. See, some things just have to wait. I don't get why I'm in this trouble, or why this is my lot in life. Remember we sing that song, Farther Along? Farther Along, we'll know all about it. Some things we just don't know why right now. That's what the verse is. Number four, Romans 5, verse 3, we rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience. 1 Peter 4:12.
I'm going to skip some things. I have my notes.
1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, again, don't think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you. Don't think this strange. I'm going through this. Don isn't. He's not having the fire trial that I'm in.
He probably has his own. He's just not telling me about.
Don't think it strange. Which comes upon you to prove you. To prove you. To prove something. And you're familiar with this illustration. If you want to prove something, it means to test. Or test by experiment. It's subject to the testing process. It means you're going to try it out. We have proving grounds. Prove means to establish as true or to establish validity or reliability. It means to demonstrate so you can reach a conclusion. You know, sometimes when we build something, we sometimes say, well, now let's see if it works. Let's see if it'll stand the test. Well, that's what God is doing with us. So don't think it's strange concerning fiery trials. They come upon us to prove us. Product labels, and sometimes having been proved, they might even put a label on there because it's gone through the testing ground. It might say not to exceed 200 pounds. Or it might say use cold water only. You know, that has been tested and this is safe. Don't exceed these limits. That's what God is doing with us. Don't exceed the limits. And God has said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation in taking you, but what's common to man? But God's faithful. He will not allow you to be tested or proved or tempted beyond what you are able. He's proving. But the proving, the temptations that come our way will not be more than what we can stand. Number six, our trials help us to be sympathetic toward others in their trials. I may not have suffered the exact same thing as you, but I've suffered. And sometimes when we're trying to counsel somebody else, we might say, I know what you're going through. No, they may get defensive. No, you don't. You haven't been through what I'm through. Or you haven't been in this situation. I know that, but I've had trials. And that's all. That's the illustration I'm giving you. I know what you're going through because I know what trials are or what hardships are. Not that I've experienced the exact same thing as you. But it causes me to be sympathetic because I've suffered. Number seven, when we overcome trials, it gives confidence that we may do it again. Going through something the first time, we get some jitters. But the more familiar we are with something, we press on with boldness. You might struggle the first time you've assembled something. But once you've assembled that, the next box comes along, it's pretty much exactly like you almost laid the instructions down. Chris won't have to get the instructions assembly required for blinds next time he puts one up here at the building because he struggled with that the first time. I don't mean to tell on him, but who was your helper? Rick. Hey, oh, we don't need to read instructions. No, don't read instructions. Rick, why didn't that fit? Oh, next blind was really easy. Well, that's what trials do. They convince us we've been through something already. We can get through it again. Think about your first court appearance. No, great illustration. It gets easier. Your second court appearance gets easier. Get here. So now we see, I know exactly what to do. Have we been through something? Number eight, having overcome trials, we become examples to others in overcoming their trials. So I've looked at others and I've said, no, if they can do it, I can do it. If he or she can get through this, I think I can too. So there's a blessing in that. And we read in Hebrews 11, we read of all those Bible heroes, their trials, they're examples for us. By faith, they did this all. If they did it, I can too. Number nine, the last one. Our trials cause us not to be satisfied with this life. Our trials convince us that heaven's not on earth. Paul said in Philippians 1 verse 23, I'm going to straight between the two. Have a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. But nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is needful for your sake. Got to illustrate. But what our trials cause us or tell us is that heaven is not on earth, and we shouldn't be satisfied with this life. So Paul recognized that. I'd like to stay in hell, but you know, this is far better. So we even sing songs that reflect this attitude. This world is not my home. Just passing through. Here we are, but straying pilgrims. We sing to Canaan's land. I'm on my way. We sing a song, I'll fly away. But when we all get to heaven, when all of God's singers get home, we're marching to Zion, home of the soul. So when our troubles and trials, they simply tell us heaven is not on earth. And I'm not satisfied with this life. I want to be satisfied with another life. So that's the lesson. One last verse I didn't put in your notes, but Romans 8, verse 18. The sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory which is to be. The sufferings of this present time are not to be compared. In other words, night and day difference. That's the lesson. So Dennis Reed, I got this lesson. Dennis mentioned the Wednesday night class a week or so ago. Reminded me of a lesson like this or that I had. And so I thought, well, I'll pull some down and see what I can jot down or use. So there's your lesson. Always at the close of the lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of exhortation, invitation. Now, remember, the New Testament church, you have that opportunity to respond in a public way while we're here to rejoice with you in that decision to become a Christian. Simply, if you've heard the gospel news that God so loved the world, you believe it, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized for remission of sins. Rise to walk in newness of life, and then begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now you have help from above, lots of resources to pull to help in that. So let's sing a song of encouragement that Dennis has selected for us.